Blog Talk Radio.
3, 2, 1. Tuesday nights on NBC are alive with a range of talent on World of Dance. Executive producer Matilda Zeltowski joins me next in an internet radio exclusive. Two prominent executives step into their own enterprise, Toy Rocket, with Pop Sugar as key investor. Find out how this content startup will operate later this hour with founders Jane Newsom and Tom Huffman. And a new Canadian detective drama cruised into the United States via Hulu this morning. Billy Campbell stars as Cardinal. And next hour, we'll link in with executive producer Julia Sereni and director Daniel Grau. Also ahead, Apple plunges into new television series thanks to Sony Pictures TV's outgoing presence. Will Amazon launch an interactive food delivery over television venture via Whole Foods? And our latest classic trivia question winner. Hello, everyone. I'm Simon Applebaum, live from New York on Blog Talk Radio. This just in, tomorrow will be televised. Brought to you by Audible.com, a leading provider of spoken audio entertainment and information that will transform the way you hear the world. Listen to audiobooks whenever and wherever you want. Get a free book when you sign up for a 30-day trial at audibletrial.com/televised. More incentive later in the program. Happy Friday before Father's Day to you and all, and welcome to a jam-packed edition of the program all about television. 67 degrees at the top of the hour here in the Big Apple. Delighted to have you with us. A lot of great guests coming away over the next hour and a half, and we invite you to be part of the program. Here's how. You listen, you pick up the phone, and you have a question or comment for any of our guests to come, you use this number, 646-652-2906. That's 646-652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around the world here on Blog Talk Radio. And then there's our chat room open for business with you. It's SimonApple04, and you will find it on our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. And while the program is on the air, you can connect yourself to others by using Facebook Timeline. It's very simple. Just click on the Facebook icon on your Blog Talk screen, follow the instructions, and other people will be live with you. World of Dance executive producer Matilda Zeltowski joins us live from Los Angeles after these news notes. Any doubt Apple's effort in television programming would be minimal were wiped out this morning by bringing on outgoing Sony Pictures TV co-presidents Jamie Ehrlich and Zach Von Emberg. The pair will join Apple this fall and spearhead a wide variety of original series and more. It's not clear yet if apps for Apple TV will be part of their game plan. Ehrlich and Von Emberg joined Sony in 2005 and became co-presidents of television last year. Their last day at Sony is August 31st. Meanwhile, Planet of the Apps, Apple's first TV original series, started on Apple TV, the Apple Music, last week. The company's second series, Carpool Karaoke, based on the Late Late Show feature with James Corden, will begin in August. And nothing new at Sinclair over hiring former Sony Pictures TV chairman Steve Musco to head the top TV station owner's original programming ventures. Amazon Prime customers can order any Amazon merchandise they wish using their television set if they have Amazon Fire TV or Apple TV. Could that ability extend to food? Likely, as one result of Amazon's decision this morning to acquire Whole Foods Market for $13.7 billion. Whole Foods operates more than 450 stores worldwide and will stay operating with that name and current management, led by chief executive and founder John Mackey. When the deal closes, both companies expect the acquisition will complete before the end of this year. Some quickies before we get to our first guest. Netflix will play the second season of Miniseries sometime in 2018, with 24 executive producer and award-winning director John Cassar in charge. Glenn Close will headline Sea Oak, an Amazon dramedy series pilot that, if it goes to series, would make Close's first series since her award-winning performance on FX's Damages. And Tracy Morgan and Julianne Moore will be part of Spike TV's Alec Baldwin One Night Only special coming July 9th. Spike will take One Night Only Sunday, that's next Sunday, at the Apollo Theater in Harlem. And that is news notes for today. And now joining us live, an interview exclusive, one of the executive producers of NBC's popular new Tuesday night series, World of Dance, Matilda Zeltowski. Matilda, welcome in and congratulations.
Oh, well, thank you very much. Thank you for having me.
What are you and Jennifer Lopez and everybody involved in the series most delighted about 3 weeks in?
Most delighted about? Many things. I think that... you know, what we set out to do in our mind's eye, our kind of creative hope has actually completely come together. Everyone seems to get it and everyone seems to enjoy it in the way that we hoped they would.
How long did it take for you and everyone involved to put this thing together and, most importantly, put together the talent that we have seen over these first few weeks?
The whole process from when we first kind of conceived the idea and developed it and went to air was probably around a year, which is pretty quick in network television time. And then the casting, finding all these amazing dancers from around the world, that started in earnest probably last summer. We went, we did a trip around the States in September to meet as many people in person as we could and see them dance in person. And then we got them all here for the competition.
Mm-hmm. Now, are all the episodes going to be pre-recorded before they go on the air, or will you be doing the finals or the semifinals live?
Everything this season is pre-recorded.
Mm-hmm. So where are you at now? Have all the episodes been taped? Do you still have some time to go?
They have actually all been taped.
Mm-hmm. Talk about the talent that's been on the air so far. The performances to a T have been absolutely, at least for me, I've seen two of the three episodes, including this past Tuesday, fantastic. And what really has been surprising has been the range of dance, especially among the juniors. And there are two girls. I think they're both on the same. One is Diana Pombo, who was in the first episode, and the other, mm-hmm. who was on this past week, is Eva Igo. Talk about both of them. They look like they are stars on their eyes already.
Aren't they absolutely incredible? We were very, very delightfully surprised by the amazing caliber of the juniors. When we did casting, we set out, we wanted them to be, the best of the best and really amazing. And with our format, the winner from each division goes head to head in the final. And we absolutely wanted to make sure that the juniors had a crack of winning it. And then I think it soon became very clear that the caliber of dancing absolutely put them up there with some of, the kind of seasoned professionals even on the show. And yeah, those two girls, Eva and Diana. Eva was one of the first people we saw in Chicago. And, so I do not come from a dance background, even though I seem to weirdly have worked on several dance shows. But she came in and danced for us just in this rehearsal room in her leotard. And literally I had tears in my eyes, which normally contemporary dance doesn't particularly do for me. And it was like, wow, I don't know anything about the technique, but this girl is incredible. And absolutely, that's obviously come across on TV because everyone's fallen in love with her. And equally, Diana, who's even younger, we met in, I think it was in Atlanta. She came to auditions there. And again, we saw many, many kids and many contemporary kids. It's such a hugely popular genre among especially little girls today in America. So we saw a lot of them, and those two just kind of stood out head and shoulders and have proved themselves, I think, on the show already. So there's a lot more to come from them.
Yeah. Have a hunch, a big hunch, and even beyond this competition, too. I want to welcome guest 425 and Rick Rohrer from Philadelphia into our chat room. Simon Apple 04. If you have a question or comment, get in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. As someone who has worked on these type of series before, what was important working with your fellow executive producers and with Jennifer Lopez, who's both producer and judge, what was important to get out on camera to the audience?
I think we wanted, obviously we're making a TV show, but, we partnered up with World of Dance, which is an existing organization, first and foremost, because we wanted the authenticity. It's a real competition. The people, some of the talent coming on our shows, I don't think would ever consider going on another TV show, but they were drawn to ours because it felt like a real competition, and obviously there's an enormous $1 million prize at stake, which helps. So we wanted to keep the feeling of a real competition with real contenders, which I think has come across.
How did Jennifer and Derek Howe from Dancing in the Stars and Neo come together, and what do you think about the fact that it seems that they have off the bat meshed very well, both as individuals and as judges as a team?
Well, I think obviously the three of them all have a genuine, genuine, undeniable passion for dance. They've all been doing it for years in their own different ways and their own different kind of genres. And I think, they all knew each other as well. It's a kind of small world and a small community, and especially the dance side of things. And also with Jenna Dewan Tatum, our host. Derek knew Jennifer, I think, go way back. you know, what was great, they already had a shorthand and a kind of camaraderie between them, and then this united love of dance gave them something, you know, it was kind of fun for them to get to hang out together and do what they love, and they're not afraid to disagree with each other, again, because they know each other, they're not sitting there on best behaviour. So I think the warmth came across from day one, which is great, and something that, you know, money can't buy, and it's, we're very lucky to have them all.
We are speaking live with Matua Zolkowski. She is one of the executive producers of NBC's new hit performance series, World of Dance. It's on 10 o'clock Tuesday nights, right after 2 hours of America's Got Talent. They have a back-to-back performance night, performance and competition night on NBC. Matua joins us live in Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow We Televise. Nine edition for you on this Friday before Father's Day. Simon Applebaum live from New York with you. If you have a question or comment for our guest, give us a call at 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04. My name again. We welcome guest 425 and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia. We have another 90 edition coming your way on Monday, and it's another big one for you. Coming up first, we have what may be the most controversial executive right now in television. He is the chief executive of VidAngel. That's the company that's trying to give viewers the opportunity to filter out objectionable content, language, violence, etc., from their favorite movies or television shows. Version 2.1 was stopped earlier this spring thanks to a court order when four Hollywood studios intervened with an injunction. But earlier this week, version 2.0 came on the scene, including the opportunity to get original content from the VidAngel Studios division. Neil Harmon, the chief executive of VidAngel, will be live with me as our lead guest on Monday. Also, we'll preview the brand new Discovery Family Channel series, Reno Set Go, with its co-hosts and designers from Restaurant Impossible, Cheryl Tenenbaum, and Roger Marin. And just announced a few hours ago, we will have the executive producer, the new executive producer of Queen Sugar on the Oprah Winfrey Network, Monica Macer. She will join us live the day before Queen Sugar starts season 2 on the Oprah Winfrey Network with a two-part opening stanza. It's all coming on Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, exclusively on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. In terms of audience reaction, is it fair to say that Eve and Diane have gotten the most reaction from the audience so far, or is there a group or performer that, you know, has done even better?
Sorry, I didn't quite hear the question. What was that?
Who has gotten the most audience response so far, you know, that the audience really wants to root for? Is it Eve and Diana, or are there other people that have done even better in terms of audience response or audience feedback?
I mean, from what I know, obviously I only know from what I see on kind of social media, but what I love is there is a real spread. You know, obviously the girls have really hit, and they're very kind of easy to relate to. But then some of the bigger groups, obviously there's like the Jabberwockies, who everybody loves, and they've had an amazing response. And then Les Twins, who were in our first episode, two French brothers who professional dancers who had danced with Beyonce, they've had amazing feedback. So it's kind of all different styles and all different types of people, which is, it makes me so happy that, you know, everybody, as long as they're a great dancer and phenomenally talented, anyone can do well on this show and relate to the audience. So, yeah, so far, so good.
But so then, in order for people to get from the first round to the next round, they have to score an average of 80 from the three judges. And what has been really surprising is that the scores have been very, very high through 8 episodes. And the people who did, or groups that did not move on, it wasn't because of a bad performance. They all did very, very well, and all of them have scored at least like 77, 78 and just missed it by that much. Has that been a surprise to you or to the judges that the scores have been that close between moving on and not moving on?
Do you know, it hasn't been a huge surprise because we set out to start off our qualifiers. You know, it's more akin to a show like The Voice where, you know, everyone who's invited to the stage is really good. Like, you know they're good. We don't kind of stinkers for, you know, for entertainment value. If you're invited to come to the World of Dance qualifiers, you're already really good. And then a lot of it, you know, you don't know until what's going to happen on the day, what's going to relate to the judges. You know, a lot of it, you know, we as producers make our predictions of who the judges are going to love and who's going to get great scores and who might not make it or who's on bubble. And half the time, most of the time, we're probably wrong because, you know, once they get on that stage in the room in front of the judges with the audience, you just don't know what's going to happen. And that's kind of, I think, part of the magic is the anticipation of what they're going to do. But, yeah, it's not a surprise. If anyone had really crashed and burned and got a terrible score, I think there would have been something a bit wonky with our kind of casting selection process.
Talk about the role that Jenda Wantanam has as host. She doesn't, at least in these first three episodes, she comes more as mentor, as supporter, as opposed to host. When you talk to her about what her role would be on the program, what guidance did you give her? And I'm curious whether she decided, I want to be more mentor, supporter, as opposed to a standard host, or there were things that you picked up or you were able to coach her on in terms of her role in the show.
Yeah, you'll see actually, the next episode that's airing on Tuesday is the first of our new rounds, The Jewels, and you'll see from there Jenna's a lot more hands-on involved. Obviously, you know, with the actual dancers and the acts and their rehearsals and their preparations for the competition. Obviously, Jenna, her background, she's a phenomenal dancer and actress. She's never been a TV host. I don't think she ever had a particularly burning ambition to be a TV host. But when we were, you know, putting the show together, it was really important that everyone involved in World of Dance was here, you know, for a reason. It's like Jenna belongs here. She grew up going to these competitions and was one of these kids herself. So she knows what she's talking to. We wanted someone who could relate to the dancers backstage. And then, as I say, as the competition progresses, to actually be able to help them and not just stand, you know, with a microphone kind of guiding traffic. And so in the first round, you're right, she's backstage. It's the qualifiers. It's the first time we've met everybody. So it's very much kind of sending them on and taking them off role, just because that's the format of the show. But then from round two onwards, obviously we get to know our dancers better and they get, you know, a bit of hands-on mentoring and help from Jenna and with the other judges later on as the competition progresses. You'll be seeing a lot more of her, and she kind of grows and grows, and I think she's fantastic. She's been a delight to work with. So I'm very pleased we got someone, you know, from that dance world in that role rather than just a more traditional host.
Another key person that you're working with, and I have said for a long time that maybe, not actually exactly maybe, the best dance director on television, Alex Sinitsky. He is the director. He was the director of Dancing with the Stars, most of his run. He is a director on your show. He could not win the Emmy Award, unfortunately, for Dancing because it was considered a reality competition show as opposed to a variety show, and there was no directing category yet for reality competitions, like Dancing with the Stars and so on. He did finally win the Emmy last year for his sensational work on Grease Live with Thomas Kalee. What's it like to work with Alex? He just seems to have the knack for like saying, here's how dance should show up on television.
Yeah, Alex is fantastic. I adore him. And we actually go way back because I worked with him for many years on Dancing with the Stars and even before that on the English version of the show. So he, again, doesn't have a background in dance. I don't think I've ever actually seen him dance, but he has been doing it for years and he's kind of grown with the dancers. He understands them and he works so well with the choreographers. He gets their point of view, but then also understands how it needs to translate to the broader TV audience. It's obviously not just for the judges or the audience in the room. It's how to translate onto television, because often that's very difficult. He's a genius and a delight to work with and deserves every single accolade he gets. So, yeah, we're really, really lucky to have him. And it's so nice, obviously, with my years of experience with him, that we kind of went into the taping with a shorthand already. He's the best. He's the best.
How does he operate? Does he look at the dance numbers and then decide, here's how I want to place my cameras, here's how long I want certain shots to go, or does he operate sort of spur of the moment?
No, we do look at the performances several times. Like, he might look at an early rehearsal tape, even that someone might just shoot, you know, a producer might shoot on their cell phone of the group, you know, rehearsing in a rehearsal room so he can get an idea. Obviously, he has his stage and his camera plot. So he looks at it days in advance and gets ideas of how he's going to do it. And then he actually, it's very intricate, breaks down the music. Breaks down the music and scripts every single camera to every single bar of music. So it's a very rehearsed process, and then he works really closely with our creative directors, Tabitha and Napoleon. So, you know, they'll kind of early run on the routine and then have suggestions of how something might look better for, you know, a specific move that's been choreographed.
One thing I admire about Alex's work on Dancing with the Stars and also on your program is that he, unlike a lot of directors who are into the MTV kinetic style, like we have to change the camera every 4 or 5 seconds no matter where the dance is at, it seems like Alex is willing to say, I will keep the camera shot on for 25, 30 seconds, which can be an eternity for a lot of people in television, because that's the way the dance ought to go. And then I'll cut to a body shot, or then I'll cut to a different, like an audience shot. But I will, whatever amount of seconds it takes to really showcase where this dance is at, that's where it's going. I'm not going to just like switch cameras willy-nilly.
Absolutely, and that's the constant. I think with anyone who's ever worked on a dance show, is you know the dance community, you know the dancers watching, they would just prefer one camera at the front of the stage, never moving. But your TV viewers, who is many more people than that, are used to watching television, and it's a bit more dynamic and cut up. So there's a balance to be found, which again, with all his years of experience, I think Alex has mastered it as. Giving the viewers what they want without compromising the dance and the choreography and the amazing amount of kind of, you know, artistry that, and thought that's gone into it. So for the most part, people are happy.
Just before we move on, one quick Alex. One of my favorite things that Alex did was on Dancing with the Stars, there was a performer named Patricia Zhao who was like an 18-year-old prodigy, and she did this wonderful number to a song by Patricia Ahn called Dreams. And two things I remember. One is there's a shot. This is all live, by the way, where it's like almost artistry, where there's a person turning now, and he does four shots, it all live, of her doing pirouettes, and it's like from different parts and different cameras and different parts of the stage, all right there at the moment on every stanza. And then at the end, Tom Bergeron and his partner at the time were about to introduce the next act. And Alex saw the applause going and, like, standing ovation from the audience and so on, and he had this wonderful shot where he could have gone right to a clear headshot of Tom and partner, but he decided to broaden the stage so that you saw the singer take a bow, the dancer take a bow, and then Tom and partner go to the next so, and it was, like, a great shot, great reaction to live to the audience reaction.
Well,
that's the kind of director Alex is. He really gets it.
Mm-hmm. And probably without seeing a single camera in the back of shot, despite shooting almost in the round live.
Yeah. If you want to know, folks, those interested in directing, how to direct a live show, particularly a live dance number, Alex Winiski is your person. And I have a hunch he's going to be nominated for another Emmy Award for World of Dance if it's qualified. We are speaking with Matilda Zatowski. She's one of the executive producers of World of Dance. Next episode, this coming Tuesday night, 10 p.m. Eastern Pacific on NBC, following 2 hours of America's Got Talent. And Matilda joins us live from Los Angeles this half hour on our Friday Before Father's Day edition of Tomorrow Be Televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. So a few more minutes with Matilda. Get your question in, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by name. And coming up next Friday on Tomorrow Be Televised, we'll have the executive producer and showrunner of a new series coming later this month to full screen called Fantasies. And that is Ron Harris. He'll join us live. That's next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Matilda, what do we look forward to starting in episode 4? Where does the competition go from here?
So we're up to the next level. We're into the duels, which is it's a great round. It's where so everyone who's made it through the qualifiers within their division, they're still competing within their division, but the top scorer in the qualifier in each division gets to choose who they're going to go up against in the duel and so on. So everybody pairs up, they perform. The judges still use their amazing scoring system, so they're not actually comparing people. They're judging each performance on its own merits, and the lowest scorer is sent home. So it's pretty brutal. We lose 50% of our amazing acts, but the dancing goes up a level. Everything just gets better and better. So more amazing performances and kind of more, you know, the stakes are higher because one act staying and one act going home each time.
And how many more weeks do you go before the grand finale?
We have 3, 4, 6. Yeah, I'm getting confused. 6 more weeks and then the world final.
Mm-hmm.
So we whittle it down. So we'll end up with the winner from each division going into the final.
And there's a lot of money and a lot of prestige on the line.
Oh, sorry, say that again.
I said there's a lot of money and a lot of prestige on the line for everybody who wins in the finale.
Yep, $1 million. They all really want it. And so the stakes get higher, the dancing gets better, the competition just kind of keeps going up and up and up, and it's pretty spectacular, I have to say.
Are you and Jennifer and everybody already starting to plan for the second season, like how you would tweak things and maybe, again, possibly maybe doing the grand final live?
Yeah, obviously everything's up for discussion. It's impossible not to talk about what you'd change, what you'd improve, what you'd add. We've already got lots of exciting ideas. So, hopefully we come back for a second season and get to try some, do what worked and try some new things out as well.
Mm-hmm. Incidentally, the group performance, before we leave, the group performances and some of these pair performances on that first episode, there was a wonderful ballroom dance couple did salsa like you've never seen before on that first episode.
Uh-huh.
That means that you're going to be seeing more from that couple. And I think they come out of Miami and they're also pretty young. And they're a great group of dance.
The group
is also great too.
Yeah, that was D'Angelo and Amanda. You'll be seeing them back soon. They're great. They're fantastic. Yeah, and they're mm-hmm. two of our juniors. You can hardly believe it.
Mm-hmm. If you want to see some stunning dance and you have not seen World of Dance lately, personal thought, make it your business to see it. This coming Tuesday night, episode number 4, 10 o'clock East Pacific time on your local NBC station, right after 2 hours of the latest stanza of America's Got Talent. Check your local news for the NBC station in your area. For more details online, of course, NBC.com. And all the very best to all of the performers and competitors on this series. They are all really sensational. It is a great dance showcase. Matilda Sosolsky, the executive producer, along with Alex Lipsky and Jennifer Lopez and everybody else, thank you again for taking the time to join us. Congratulations on how things have gone so far. All the very best the rest of the way, and hopefully this is a perennial on NBC for many, many more seasons to come. It's a fantastic showcase for dance.
Let's hope so. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk to me. This has been great.
You're welcome. All the greatest. Take care. Fantastic Father's Day weekend.
Thanks, Simon. You too. Bye.
Bye-bye. Matilda Sosolsky, executive producer of World of Dance, joining us live from Los Angeles. Once again, next episode, Tuesday at 10 on your local NBC station. More from Robbie Televised, including the winner of this week's Classic Trivia Question, dealing with the late Batman and West. But first, some thoughts from the fine people at audible.com. Kevin Hart's got a wonderful new book out. It's called I Can't Make This Up. He certainly can. He's got a lot of things cooking, including a brand new Comedy Central series called The Next Level, premiering later this month at 11 p.m. on Sunday night. But you can catch Kevin anytime you like through a subscription to audible.com. All you have to do to catch I Can't Make This Up, which Kevin himself narrates, is to go online and use this URL, audibletrial.com/televised. Hear for yourself why audible.com is the leading provider of spoken digital audio entertainment and information. With over 108,000 titles to choose from, you can listen to them on any device, including whatever you are hearing us on right now at Blog Talk Radio. Remember, if you sign up at audibletrial.com/televised, you get one free audiobook of your choice, 1 month trial service, and great customer service because Audible is owned by Amazon.com. So hear for yourself and see if audible.com can transform the way you hear the world. One more time for that free month trial and audiobook. It's audibletrial.com/televised. And now it's time for our latest winner of our Classic Trivia Question of the Week. And that latest winner is John Ramirez from Chicago, Illinois. Congratulations, John. You picked up our question on Tuesday from what we offered on Monday. Our question was in honor of Batman himself on television, Adam West, who passed away last week at the age of 88. The question, name the 1960s television series Adam West co-starred in with Robert Taylor. The answer, The Detective, that ran for 4 seasons on ABC, 4-star production from 1958 to 1962. Originally, the show was a half hour, but when it went to an hour in 1961, Adam West joined the crew in place of, guess who? Mark Goddard, who later went on to be a co-star on Lost in Space for 3 seasons in the mid-60s on CBS. Once again, The Detectives was the answer to this week's Classic Trivia Question. And John Ramirez of Chicago, Illinois, you're going to be getting Before the Flood from National Geographic on DVD with exclusive deleted scenes. And we thank you so much for playing. That'll be going out your way early next week. We appreciate you tuning in, and we appreciate you playing. And on Monday, we'll have another Classic Trivia Question for you on our latest 90-minute edition. So when you hear the question, you do what John did. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. It's simonapple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget to enclose your name and where you are from, full mailing address. And if you're first with the correct answer, you'll win. Maybe we'll have another prize for you. We're arranging such a prize right now. We'll see if we can get it in time for Monday's episode. So once again, it's simonapple04@yahoo.com. If you don't get a chance to tune in Monday or you come in late and miss the question, don't worry. I'll post it on Tuesday morning on my Facebook page and also on Twitter at UBC Simon TWBT. That's at UBC Simon TWBT. But remember, in order to win, you got to play in. So do what John Ramirez did, and all the very best. And once again, congratulations to John Ramirez of Chicago, Illinois, for being our latest Classic Trivia Question of the Week winner. We come back. We're running back to Los Angeles, and we'll catch the two people who formed their own production company with their own script and horizons, Pop Shirt Investor and Toy Rocket. Jay Newsom and Tom Huffman will join me after we pause at the bottom of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio on the planet, www.blogtalkradio.com. More than 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. It's your home for The Lisa Effect. Join Lisa, her guest, and her conversation tonight, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, exclusively on Blog Talk Radio. Remember, best BTR available to you at YouTube.com. Welcome back to the second part of this nightly edition of Tomorrow Will Be Televised. I'm Applebaum, we're live from New York. Glad you're with us on the Friday before Father's Day of 2017. We hope you have a fantastic weekend. And, of course, we want to congratulate on behalf of Blog Talk Radio all the fathers in our lives. And we wish them a wonderful day coming up on Sunday. We have some more guests coming your way this hour, and we invite you, as always, to be part of the program. It's so simple. Pick up the phone, dial in with this number, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, SimonApple04 by game. Guest 425 is still in the room, along with Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia. In recent years, especially with the rise of scripted television, we've seen a lot of production companies come into play, companies like IM Global TV, Sonar, many, many more. We're about to clue you in on one of the latest TV production companies to get into the scripted world, and maybe unscripted too. It's called Toy Rocket. This one has a very thing investor, the popular website Pop Sugar, which is also involved with online video and also getting involved in television as well. Joining us live from Los Angeles, we have one of the founders of this new company, Toy Rocket, Jane Houston. Jane, welcome in.
Hi, Simon. Thanks so much.
You're very welcome. And is Tom with you, or is he still calling in separately?
I believe he's on.
All right, Tom, are you there? All right, let's see if Tom is available. Let me see if this is Tom. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, guys, I'm here if you can hear me. Hello?
I can hear you great. Thank you both for taking the time.
Oh, great.
Before we get to Toy Rocket, both of you, I want to get your thoughts about one of the big stories of the day, the two presidents of Sony Pictures Television moving over to Apple. Jane, what do you think this says about Apple's move to be a big cloning player?
I mean, I think it says exactly that. They're very much taking this move seriously and want to make a big play by bringing in big players. And, you know, it's a fantastic move for them. I think it's some very good, healthy competition for the rest of us.
Tom, we know that Apple has got the bucks to do anything it wants to do in television programming, but the fact that they have gotten two of the major television executives in the industry, Jamie and Zach, it speaks volumes.
Oh, my God, yeah. I mean, those guys, just look at their track record, the stuff that they were able to do. And, you know, I think when they went into Sony, it was a similar situation, right, with Apple, where there wasn't a ton of existing programs already, so they built a lot off of nothing. You know, Apple's got a couple shows coming out, but not a whole lot. And sort of the same situation. They did great there, them in Moscow. So I think they're going to be really successful. I'm really excited to see what they'll do. I mean, they were responsible for putting on some of my favorite shows, you know, including Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul. So, you know, I'm really interested to see the tone of what they're going to do, or if they're going to go just more broad, kind of like Netflix is doing, and hitting on a bunch of different genres or whatever. But I'm really excited. They're both incredibly talented, and I think it was a great move by Apple.
Yeah. And, Jane, they have a clean slate. If they want, they can create apps for Apple TV. They can do more music-oriented programming. And one thing that both of these executives are talented at is in keeping series alive and moving them from one network, which drops them to another. They did that with Damages. They did that with other shows. And I would think if you're the producer of Underground, if you're John Legend, you're Anthony Hemingway, you're Richard Green, Joe Kosaka, you may be inclined right now to say, hey, Jamie, Zach, when you get to Apple, how about keeping us around for a third season?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's everyone's dream, is to get to work with some of these new platforms that are taking risks, you know, the Netflix and the Apples. And, you know, I think that's very much on our list of target networks.
Mm-hmm. It's going to be very interesting to see what happens, both with Apple, and let's not forget Facebook also, which is now starting to make its move in terms of original programming, including scripted and unscripted. And again, I think for me, personal thought, I think Apple now is in the hunt to get underground. I really hope they go through the third season. And because you have the two people who are pretty expert at trying to keep shows alive from one network to another, if I'm John Legend or if I'm anybody else involved with the making of that show, I go to Jamie and Zach as soon as they get aboard, or even before they get into Apple in September, to pitch them about maybe doing it. I know, by the way, BET is still interested, and so is Hulu. Owen has turned it down because of the high cost, $5 million an episode. But Apple can afford it. Facebook, too.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's a great show. It's the one that I worked on at WGN America, and it has a all-star cast, all-star team, Misha, the showrunner, and it resonated. You know, WGN America was such a small network, and it was really tough to get eyeballs, and that one and Outsiders were the first two that just out of the gate with a great marketing and publicity team was able to get some eyeballs. But really, it was just the show and the writing and the way that they produced it. So I think it's one that the fans are going to demand, and I really hope that Zach and Jamie, I think Apple's the best home for it. So we'll see what they do, but that's a great point. I think you're right.
And let's not forget, they're using Apple Music, which is available on Apple TV, to distribute their first program, Planet of the Apps, which started last week, Carpool Karaoke, which is starting in August. So John Legend, obviously, getting him for sure to get underground, being the executive producer and the person arranging the music, would be especially natural for Apple Music and Apple TV to put on.
Yeah, totally.
Jane, how did you and Tom hook up to do this company? What do you want to do with Toy Rocket?
You know, I think Tom and I have known each other for many years, and we were both looking for an opportunity that sort of wasn't afraid to take risks and could really cross different genres and, you know, different marketplaces and work in, all of the platforms that frankly exist right now. I don't think it's just a linear market anymore. It's not just a digital market. It's not just scripted or film. I think there's so many different routes, and we're really searching for an opportunity that allowed us to sort of spread our wings in that way. We hooked up and figured out a plan, and Pop Sugar, luckily enough, really believes in that plan as well and backed us, and now we are playing in every genre and every bucket we wanted to be in.
Mm-hmm. Tom, was Pop Sugar involved from day one, or did they hear about you and said, we liked your game plan and that's why we want to be in?
No. I was telling the agencies that Jenna and I were looking for a value add. You know, we wanted a partner that, a lot of the people offering JVs and pods, that the value that is added is that they're great producers. But we wanted something more, and we didn't know exactly what that was, but we wanted somebody to be able to lend something where we went in, we would have more firepower. And so WME actually, the agency set us up, and they're like, hey, you guys should look at Pop Sugar. They command this massive audience. They have 325 million video views a month, and they're a digital publisher. That might be interesting. So I think Jane and I both heard that, and we're like, God, you know, that could be really fun if they're really willing to exploit the brand power that they bring. And so we met with Brian, Lisa, and David over here, the heads of Pop Sugar and Pop Sugar Studios, and their vision. They were just like us. They were like, let's go shake things up. Let's not just focus on the big four, but let's have a lot of fun playing with SVODs and AVODs. Let's be the interesting new guys that can go in there and use the brand, use its audience, its metrics, its marketing power, and see what we can get done. So that's kind of how we got set up and got excited about it. I think that was the first one that Jane and I were like, oh, this could be something. We don't know what it is, but there's a lot of firepower there. We could have a lot of fun with it.
Mm-hmm. We're speaking with Jane Newsome and Tom Huffman. They are the co-founders of Toy Rocket, one of the new TV production companies around, and Pop Sugar, which is doing a lot of stuff in all sorts of television ways, is involved as an investor. They're both joining us live from Los Angeles this half hour on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Simon Applebaum will be live this Friday afternoon on Blog Talk Radio. And if you have a question or a comment for our guests, don't be shy. Be involved. All you have to do is call 646 652-2906. That number is good anywhere you're catching us across the country or around this wide world of ours on Blog Talk Radio. Or you can use our chat room, Diamond Apple 04 by name. Find it at our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, is in the room. Coming Monday on our program, another 90-minute edition that kicks off with Neil Hansen. He is the head of BitAngel. It is a very controversial venture. Why? Because it wants to offer a service where people at home can filter out objectionable content in movies and television shows. Version 1.0 got off the ground, and then it got pushed to the sidelines thanks to an injunction from a lawsuit by four Hollywood studios. However, version 2.0 got off the ground earlier this week, and we will have Neil on with us to talk about that and a production company of their own doing original content as well as part of the service. That's our lead guest. Then, from the brand-new Discovery Family Channel series, Reno Set Go, we've got the co-host and designers, Cheryl Canueva, you may know her from Restaurant Impossible, and Roger Marin. And finally, if you didn't hear the news, we will have Monica Mixer. She's the new executive producer of Clean Sugar on the Oprah Winfrey Network, will be our guest for the final part of our 90-minute edition. Her series starts its second season on OWN this coming Tuesday night. That's all coming up Monday, 3:10 Eastern, New Pacific. It's going to be a barn burner right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Jane, what are the early projects that you and Tom are doing off the bat?
We can't talk specifically about too many of them, but I can tell you that we're on a film with Lionsgate, doing a bunch of projects that was unscripted. So we're to play in all genres and not be, you know, locked into any one type of programming or for one specific brand or network.
Tom, is that the film that Zoe Saldana is involved with as an executive producer called Honored?
Yeah, that's it. We're really excited about that one. It's very much, you know, when it comes to Toy Rocket and what we're doing, like Jane said, we're developing in all different genres. But specifically in scripted and in film, we really want to focus on projects that really hit right into the demographic of Pop Sugar's audience. So female millennial women. Millennial women. So that Honored was a script that Lionsgate sent over that really resonated with us, and we're really excited to do it. We were over there yesterday, talking about just the early processes of this. It looks like we're going to start filming in a few months. So that's just something that we're doing right now actively, and we're in the midst of doing our second film right now, and we're really excited about it. It's a new foray for Jane and I into the film industry.
Incidentally, that film stars a newcomer, but a very popular person in the world of digital media, is Megan Rinks. I believe that's her last name.
Yep.
And we can see how. And Jane, how do you work with a new talent who has gotten a following on a YouTube or a Pop Sugar, but has never done feature films as a performer, as an actress? Is there anything that you and Tom have to do in order to have this person be comfortable acting in front of a camera?
You know, Simon, I'm sorry, I'm getting a really bad echo, so I'm going to let Tom take this question.
Yeah, of course. So Megan, I think the most important part for that is you know, Megan has a following on YouTube, and I think it's just being true to her character, and that's what we want to get. We don't want to stray too far away from what she's known for, and we felt that this script, you know, she's going to be playing a great role in this, and we just felt that character just when we thought of it, we were like, oh, that's Megan. She's, you know, we had been fans of her for a long time. Lionsgate was following her as well. So that's really what it is, and she's been great so far, and we're really excited for this.
Now, another project that you're working on, and I guess this one's first scripted, is an anthology show that when Pop Sugar came out with a list of projects that they're working on from you and other production companies. They called it Black Mirror Meets Pretty Little Lies. It's called Malfunction. Either one of you want to take give us a little more elaboration on what that is all about?
Yeah, I think it's if you're familiar with the Black Mirror episode with the actress Bryce Dallas Howard, where it's technology is every, it's in our everyday lives, and it brings so much to us, but like, what about, I think the question is, it knows so much about us, what happens when it turns on us? And so it's a fun show, it's a bit edgy, it's definitely, there's a little horror element to it, And we're seeing it as an anthology series. So every single episode is a different, unique circumstance where technology plays, you know, a hindrance in somebody's life. And we're kind of making it in extreme cases. But it should be a lot of fun, though. We want to have a good time with it. But again, it kind of plays into that sweet spot of our audience.
Mm-hmm. Jane, Black Mirror, of course, very, very popular. The Netflix episode is doing very, very well. You're using this as sort of like a foundation point. How do you want to deal with this theme of women's adaptation of technology, given everything that's out there?
How will we what? What was the question?
How will this series deal with how women are adapting to technology or are making the most of technology or dealing with their fears of it?
Yeah, listen, I think it's very early stages for the series, so every episode will really focus on a different part of technology and how it sort of takes over your life in a different way and potentially, you know, dangerous, scary, how you may lose yourself in terms of technology. It's going to be all different.
Tom, any other TV projects in the works you can talk about?
No, you know, I don't know if we could talk about anything just yet, you know, just because we're just a few months in. So right now, our big strategy is like development. So we're just hitting the pavement. You know, we just came back from Nashville. We were doing a project down there. We were in London doing some sort of parenting show out there. We were in Alaska. Doing this, we're doing something. We teamed up with a big film company, and we're doing a really interesting project up there. So we're just kind of all over the place right now. We want to spend the first 4 months just developing some great projects. We want to make sure that our tape is looking great, so that when we go into the buyers, we really stand out and show them that we're just putting the extra oomph into all of our projects. So that's kind of where we're at right now. But God, I hope, you know, I hope to be asked to be on this great program again and in a few months and actually be able to tell you if we're lucky enough to about some of these projects. But that's where we're at right now. We're just at the very nascent stages of development.
Yeah. And in this stage, Jane, how do you and Tom budget your time? How do you figure, okay, we zero in on this first and this second and this third? What about the projects that you deal with or the projects that come into you, that get pitched to you? How do you determine, you know, where you place your time?
Yeah, it's a great question. You know, we're a team of four. It's myself and Tom and Lauren and Beau, and I think we really all trust each other and believe in a big divide and conquer method. So we're really trying to make sure that all of our projects are moving forward sort of simultaneously. And in terms of choosing which projects to focus on, I think that's the great thing about our company and Pop Sugar as a company and a backer in Toy Rocket is the ability to be flexible and nimble because the marketplace is constantly shifting. So if we're focusing on, you know, a big broadcast network this week, but then we learn that maybe they're not buying anymore or they have a freeze until they see how some of their other shows do, we need to be able to be flexible and react to the marketplace in that way. So I think we're constantly reevaluating and figuring out what our focus is each week.
Mm-hmm. Tom, because Pop Sugar has all these projects in the fire, do they also come in and say, look, we have a project that another production house or another producer wants to do that you and Jane's effort might work very well? For example, there's another project that they're doing with Adam Goodman, the former head of Paramount Pictures, who last fall launched Little Vision Entertainment with Echo, the Chinese TV set maker. And while I understand that the Chinese set maker is falling on some hard times in terms of scaling back what it wants to the United States, LaVision, is very much alive and well, and I believe Goodman is over at CES Asia right now giving a speech with the people at Letgo. Has there been talk, you know, with Pop Sugar about working with other production companies so that if you have collective visions or collective approaches, things fall into place a lot faster?
Yeah, that's a weird one. You know, that's actually a Toy Rocket project, if you can believe it or not. Adam is a friend of mine. He just got back from Asia. He was there last week. He was literally flew in for 12 hours to do that and then took the crazy flight back. But, yeah, that one was kind of born out of the fact I was over at his offices in West L.A. and was kind of just telling him about Pop Sugar and how they do a lot of branded integration deals and branded series. And he brought up, you know, this great idea about his, you know, he was like, listen, my kids are obsessed with these unboxing videos on YouTube. You know, what if we did, what if we took that unboxing idea and those videos that are kind of self-shot, that look very much like, you know, the same sort of shooting style as Paranormal Activity, which is a series that he did at Paramount, and then put some magic into them. So these boxes that people are opening up, you think you're watching a normal YouTube series, and then bam, something crazy happens to the boxes, or something magical, or something comes out of it, or you know, he was like, let's just use that as a story device to get into a bigger narrative show. And when I when we were having that conversation, we were like, yeah, this could be like a really interesting branded series as well for a product line. So that's something that Jane and I we pitched out at the New Front, and that's why you read about it. That was actually a Toy Rocket infused project that Pop Sugar saw, and they're like, God, we could really sell this to brand it. And as luck would have it, it looks like, you know, we're pretty close to making that happen. We've been talking with a brand about that. So that's kind of how it worked. To answer your question, sorry to speak so much and be so verbose, but yeah, we Pop Sugar is very much an internal production house for their content, for their editorial. So they don't really work with a lot of outside producers. They have a massive staff on the East Coast that is constantly selling branded deals and producing those. So they don't really have, and then all the editorial stuff. I mean, we're based in Culver City. We have a studio. There's three studios here, and they're literally right now. We're up on the second floor. If you look down, they're shooting, you know, a food series. They're shooting a Snapchat series. So I mean, they're constantly shooting here, and so they don't really need to work with outside producers. So it's a bit of a misconception. And I know the unbox thing with Adam Goodman probably threw you off, but that was something that we developed for New Fronts that Toy Rocket did.
Mm-hmm. We're going to hear more about it. It's called UNBX. That is the name of the show. And by the way, we're trying to get Adam on the program to hear what's going on with the vision and what he wants to do in television. And so if you know Adam, let him know. We want with open invite to have him on the program. We're speaking with Jamie Newsome.
I'll see him in an hour. Yeah.
All right, you got it. And let him know we're trying to get him, and he's welcome anytime. We definitely want to hear where he's at with the vision and his own vision of television. We appreciate that. Jay Newsome and Tom Huffman are with us this half hour on Tomorrow We Tell Us. They have a new production company called Toy Rocket. Pop Sugar is involved. A lot of different projects, both movies and television, the fire. And they're with us this half hour from Los Angeles. Simon Applebaum here with you live from New York. 67 degrees at the top of the hour. Gorgeous day so far here. Showers have pretty much kept away from this part of New York. And if you have a question or a comment for our guest, give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or you go to chat room, Simon Apple 049. We welcome guest 446 in the room. Coming up, by the way, at the top of the hour, we will go live to Canada, Toronto, and Ontario, to be specific, and we'll meet the executive producer and the key director of the new series, Cardinal. It started first on Canadian television on CTV, and as of today, it's available on Hulu. That's coming up after the top of the hour. I believe we have a call. We're going to take it. Hello, you're on Tomorrow We Tell Live. What's your name and where you're calling from?
Hey, so I heard that guy talking about unboxing, and it'd be cool if, like, when they do the unboxing, it's his penis in the box instead of, like, an item, you know?
Oops, I think that was an unfortunate call. I apologize for that. Sorry about that. Sorry to our audience. Sorry to both of you, Jay and Tom. Jane, yesterday at the Next TV Summit here in New York, a production company person had talked publicly about dealing with Netflix and said that there was something scary about them, that she was pitching pilots to them. And she was asking the Netflix person, like, where are you at in terms of doing television series, real series? And the person said, we're just getting started. You have not seen anything yet. When you hear about you see Netflix and Hulu and Amazon and Crackle and now Apple and Facebook and maybe Vimeo down the road and so forth and YouTube with YouTube Red and their ad-supported shows also are up to, what does it make you feel about this whole environment that you are coming into?
I actually think it's a really exciting time to be coming into the environment. I think there's a lot of opportunity and a lot more you know, platforms that are willing to take risks and are not necessarily beholden to ratings in the same way that traditional cable and broadcast are. So I think it's a really exciting time to be working in the industry, despite, you know, the rumors out there that it's not moving or people aren't buying or pilots aren't going forward. I don't think that's true at all.
Mm-hmm. James, stay with you for a sec. One other question I wanted to get to, and I posed this to the same panel at Next TV Summit, is in this environment, how do we ensure that diversity continues no matter what happens, whether we see more original scripted series and unscripted series happen or there's a decline? How do we keep diversity going? How do we continue to bring more women and women of color into television, whether they're producing, directing, or like you, forming their own production company?
Viewers have sort of spoken for that, continue to demand diversity in programming, in the people that make the programs. I don't think that networks will be able to stick to, you know, one brand or one type. I think that the viewers have already spoken loudly, and most places have heard them. And I believe that the TV landscape has a very diverse, especially in unscripted, a very diverse look at America and a cross-section of different communities, organizations, and groups of people, men, women, and other, across the board.
Mm-hmm. Time before I let you and Jane go, one way that diversity is happening is the television festival. We have it in New York. We have it in Chicago. We have it in L.A. We have it in Denver. Series Fest coming up in a couple weeks. Are you looking to get Toy Rocket involved, perhaps maybe you know, seeing some of the pilots that people are coming up with and perhaps doing a talent development deal with a pilot maker, or maybe getting involved in another way to sort of bring new talent aboard?
Yeah, that would be a huge win for us, and it's something that we've talked about. So, to answer your question very succinctly, yes, we would love to be involved, and we think it's super important.
If you want to know more about Toy Rocket and what it's up to, here's where you can go online, www.popsugar.com. That's www.popsugar.com. You can find out about the various partners, not only Toy Rocket, but also Pop Sugar is involved with various companies or internally. I promise you, you'll be hearing a lot more in the months ahead of Pop Sugar and what they're doing, both scripted and unscripted. Again, it's popsugar.com. Jane Newsom, Tom Huffman, thank you both very much for a wonderful half hour. Congratulations on Walking Toy Rocket and the early projects you're working on. We would love to have you both back again to talk about the TV side and things that shape up.
Thank you so much for having us, Simon. It was a pleasure.
Thanks, Simon. Yeah.
You're very
thank
welcome,
you.
Jane, Tom. Have a fantastic Father's Day week, and all the greatest to both of you.
You too. Take care.
Thanks, Simon.
Take care. Jane Newsom and Tom Huffman joining us live from New York, from Los Angeles, here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. And for those of you that are joining us for the very first time, we are with you Mondays and Fridays, 3 p.m. Eastern, noon Pacific, right here on Blog Talk Radio. And if you came in on the program late, want to catch up on episodes you missed, here's what you do. You go to our homepage, blogtalkradio.com/televised. That's www.blogtalkradio.com/televised. You can also check out the podcast version of the program. It's available 24/7 at iTunes and also on iTunes, Apple TV, iTunes podcast app. And that's where you'll find other Blog Talk Radio shows as well, 24/7. That's the iTunes podcast app available on Apple TV. If you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. And coming up Monday here in the New York area, I'll be back with Tomorrow Televised as part of BK Live. And my very special guest will be the executive producer of POV, starting its 30th year on PBS next Monday night, with a very big documentary about a unique aspect of the ongoing conflict in Serbia. Justine Nagin will join me, and she's the executive producer of POV. She'll be with us live on BK Live from our studio at Brick Media House in Brooklyn. And then the following Monday, she'll be with us live also on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. The Justine Nagin of POV, next Monday, noon to 1 o'clock, on BK Live here in the New York area on Brick TV. You can find it the next day or two at Brick TV. YouTube's channel, that's youtube.com/BrickTV, and then a week from Monday, right here on Tomorrow Will Be Televised. Remember, we love hearing from you. We always want to know what you think about where things are at and going in television. What's your thoughts about Apple TV hiring the two president of Sony Pictures Television, to put their big promoting strategy in play. What's your thoughts about Amazon buying Whole Foods Market? Do you think we're going to see an interactive food delivery service or food ordering service through your television set? Maybe using Alexa? Maybe using Amazon Fire TV? Love to hear from you. Email me, SimonApple04@yahoo.com. That's SimonApple04@yahoo.com. Don't forget, you can find me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UBCSimonTWBT. That's at UBCSimonTWBT. And I want to welcome, by the way, guest 451 into our chat room. If you have a question or comment for upcoming guests, give us the ring, 646-652-2906, or put it in the room. Also still have guest 442 and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia. Coming up after the top of the hour, we're going live to Canada, and we're going to be speaking with the executive producer and the key director of Hulu's new television series, Cardinal, and we have a very interesting announcement about the state of that series. Joining us will be executive producer Julia Sereni and director Daniel Grau. They'll be with us live from Toronto and North Bay, Canada, after we pause at the top of the hour for web identification. You are connected to the best internet radio in the universe. It's www.blogtalkradio.com. With 25 million listeners around the world every month and growing. And it's your home for the MS Reason Show. Join MS Reason, Ms. Reason, and our wonderful guests and great music, too, Thursday through Saturday, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific, only on Blog Talk Radio. It's the top of the hour. Welcome back for more of Tomorrow Televised Special 9 edition on this Friday before Father's Day, 2017. Simon Apple, here with you live from New York. Welcome to those of you just joining us at the top of the hour in the program All About Television. Delighted you're with us, and we invite you to take part in our upcoming half hour with our guests. Have a question or comment for them? Absolutely. Give us a ring, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, SimonApple04, by name alone, guest 442, 462, and Rick Webb, our friend from Philadelphia, into the room. Remember, you can use the phone or the chat room, and either way, we do hear you. Quickly, for those of you that may not have caught our news notes last hour, if you didn't hear our major blockbuster stories of the day, Apple is bringing on for its ambitious programming strategy the current co-president of Sony Pictures Television, Jamie Ehrlich, and Zach Von Emberg. They will leave Sony on August 31st and then come into Apple working on a variety of TV projects this fall. And Amazon is going to buy Whole Foods Market, and when that deal is complete, there's a possibility that they may launch an interactive food ordering delivery service through your television set if you have Amazon Fire TV or Apple TV. Currently, either way, you can order any Amazon merchandise you want. Will they go more in interactive television? We will find out, I'm sure, after this deal concludes, suspected if it passes regulatory muster by the end of this year. Over the years, we have spotlighted a number of different shows that come out of Canada, shows like Flashpoint and Cardinal and Rookie Blue and others. And one of the ways to make the trend and the trek here to the Big Apple, as well as all parts of the United States, is a show called Cardinal. It premiered earlier today on Hulu, available on smart TVs and smart TV sets. And the folks behind Cardinal have a very special announcement to make. Joining us live from Toronto, Ontario, one of the executive producers of Cardinal, Julia Sereni. Julia, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thank you very much for having us. Hello.
And joining us from North Bay, Ontario, where the series Cardinal is produced, is one of its directors you may know from his wonderful work on Vikings on the History Channel, Daniel Grau. Hi, Daniel.
Hi, how are you?
Fine, thank you. And tell us why you are in North Bay at the site of Cardinal, because a very exciting announcement that we talked about before we went on the air.
Well, I'm here just in pre-prep for the next coming seasons, and they're actually shooting season two. So, that's why I'm here.
Season two, and I understand also season three, Double Order.
Yes, Double Order, season two and three, and everything should be streaming on Hulu eventually.
Mm-hmm.
Shooting in North Bay, which is a small town in northern Ontario. It's about 3 hours north of Toronto, so it's kind of very rustic in the middle of nowhere.
Mm-hmm.
We're doing back to back.
Julia, tell us about Cardinal. This is something that a lot of people don't know about in the United States, but it started, I believe, last year on CTV, and it's doing very, very well. And I know it has a wonderful actor in it, Billy Campbell, who's come to know him from such shows as Once Again and The Killing.
It's based on a series of novels by a writer named Giles Blunt. And it's based around a police detective whose name is John Cardinal, and each book is a separate case. It's very much in the tradition of the British and the Scandinavian kind of noir mystery stories, with our lead characters at the center of every story. And each season, the case that they're investigating is a different one. And it's set in a small town in northern Ontario, so you really get a sense of place. It's in the kind of in the middle of nowhere, small town, small population, and all the the bad things that people do in those places that they do everywhere else. But we've been very fortunate in that the show has been very well received so far everywhere, both, you know, in France, in Britain. It's just, it's really, it's finding an audience.
Mm-hmm. Daniel, how diametrically different is doing this series from doing Vikings?
Well, it's different in the sense that, you know, when I do Vikings, I'm, you know, team of directors. I go in and I do a few episodes, and other directors kind of take over from there. On Cardinal, I did all six, so there's a kind of sense of, you know, like it's kind of a six-part movie, basically, you know, and there's a way to kind of have a unified vision throughout the whole thing and keep it together. So it's more like a feature, if you will, you know. But it's great. It's like a, you know, it's a feature in six parts.
Mm-hmm. Dan, that seems to be approached these days when you talk to writers, directors of a lot of the new series in the scripted TV environment. They seem to approach it from the idea of, we're not making episodic television, we're making a multi-hour movie, whether it's 8 hours, 10 hours, 13 hours. How does that work with you, because you're doing all the episodes, in terms of how you work the plot, how you develop character, not just the characters, but also the character of the environment, the physical environment, the area of Canada that you work in?
Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good point, actually, because the physical environment is crucial to the show, because there's a real sense of place. It's like a, you know, we call it a northern noir kind of thing. So it's and, you know, it's like kind of David Lynchian thing of what's underneath everything, you know, and this like little town, little people living quietly, but there's all this darkness beneath the rocks. If you lift the rocks, you can find stuff. So, and you know, if in doing all the episodes, it's easier to kind of get that through and get and follow the characters and have them developed and have them grow through each episode. It's a very much character-based crime drama.
I think in addition to that, what a show like allows us to do is to develop the characters over the course of all the seasons. And even though each book and each season has a different mystery and police case, our central characters continue to grow across the expanse of all the seasons. So it's a real luxury in that regard.
Mm-hmm. Well, welcome guest 470 to our chat room. Simon Apple 049. Welcome in on this Friday before Father's Day. If you have a question or comment for our guest, put in the room or give us a call, 646-652-2906. Julia, what hooked you? And by the way, you work with Joanne, I believe, on doing an independent production company like Toy Rocket that put this together. What hooked both of you and your colleagues about these books that said to you, hey, this would make a good series? Was it the main character and the fellow characters? Was it the environment, mix of things? What sort of said, yeah, we got to do this? This is like top priority for us.
Well, we're living in a period where great television is being made all over the world. And these books have been a point of interest for a lot of writer-directors really over the course of years. I can't tell you the number of people who said to us after we optioned the material that they too had wanted to develop these books. And in fact, the network CTV, the network in Canada, brought the project to myself and Jennifer, my producing partner. And when we read the books, we just knew immediately that they would make really compelling television, and the characters in the books would be readily castable. So it was, Giles Blunt really created a world that had such specificity, and the stories were unique. We hadn't seen those before. We leapt at it.
Daniel, how do you bring the noir aspect to this?
Well, it comes from the books and it comes from the thing. I mean, the main character is all about, he's an interesting cop in the sense that he's not this hero guy and he's not a corrupt guy. He's just a cop who personally doesn't like to be close to the evil, but he knows he has to be there to kind of combat it, you know? So it's his proximity to evil and his way of dealing with that and the way it affects him psychologically, that's interesting. And to bring that out, to bring the noir aspect, is just to kind of probe evil. I mean, it's not a series that's like gory or too violent, but still there's that aspect to it. And it's fun. It's great to see how that can affect someone in a small town, because it's more isolated, you're kind of alone, and you're, and when you're stuck with that kind of evil power, scarier in a way, you know, then you can't hide really from it, and you got to confront it.
Did you derive any inspiration from, let's say, some of the famous film noir films done by people like Val Lewton, you know, films like Cat People, where Jacques Tourneur, the famous director, liked to use light and shadow as opposed to the violence on camera, to sort of signify things, and like you play it, you know, in a way you play participant, you play director in terms of what things actually are, or to be more recent vintage, a show that is of course doing great again this year and was shot in Canada, Fargo.
No, actually, I didn't look at, you know, of course I've seen all the films that you've mentioned and everything, but it wasn't a specific thing. It's more like, it's in a weird way kind of reminiscent of Chinatown, you know, the movie, that kind of noir, where it's not like dark shadows or night. It's mostly about, you know, what can happen in bright light and in the day. Our series, the first season of Cardinal, that's going to be on Hulu, is it's in the deep winter, you know, and we wanted to see that. We wanted to see the snow. We wanted to see the cold. And that helped a great deal in the sense of isolation and that our main character. So it was more of a bright, what's hiding in plain sight kind of thing.
Cardinal, sixth episode, first season in Canada on CTV, now available on Hulu here in the United States. And we've got the executive producer and the director of the series, Julie Sereni, and Daniel Grau. Julie joins us live from Toronto, Ontario, Canada, and Daniel from On Set, where the show is being produced in North Bay. They're both with us live this half hour. On Tomorrow will be televised. Simon Applebaum with you live from New York. 57 degrees at the top of the hour. Happy you are aboard wherever you are listening on Blog Talk Radio across the country, around the globe. If you have a question or comment for our guests, don't be shy. Pick up the phone, get that voice going, 646-652-2906. Or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 by name. It's just 462-470. And Rip Webber, our friend from Philadelphia, is doing. A week from today on Tomorrow Televised, among our guests, we'll have the executive producer and showrunner of a new series on full screen called Fantasies. His name is Lon Harris, and he will join me next Friday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, here on Tomorrow Televised. And a week from Monday, among our guests, the executive producer of POV, the Emmy and Peabody Award-winning documentary series, starting its 30th anniversary that night over most public television stations. That's executive producer Justine Nagel, who will join me live in studio next Monday here in the New York area on BK Live. You can see that program from noon to 1 o'clock locally on Brick TV, on most cable systems in the area. You can also catch us a day or two later across the country on Brick TV's YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/BrickTV. Julia, talk about Billy Campbell and why you had him play Cardinal.
Oh, we couldn't have been more fortunate to have Billy Campbell play Cardinal. He personifies that character who is so contained, and, you know, he plays an essentially decent man who has no regard for artifice. Is minimalist in his speaking, and often finds himself in quite compromising positions where choosing the right thing to do has great cost to him personally. And Billy's able to express so much inner conflict and humanity with such apparently little effort. He really, I don't think that we could have done better. Billy Campbell is John Cardinal.
And Daniel, he can play a wide range of characters. You can have him in one situation as the understanding dad, as he was in Once and Again, and then you could have him as a political person that you don't know which side of the fence he's on, as he was very memorably on The Killing.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, Billy has a great range, and he's very versatile. But it's his inner humanity that shines through in this series. You know, when I first met him, I immediately, you know, recognized that this was our guy. You know, this was our John. Because of his basic humanity and his basic goodness. You know, it's like it shines through, and he can play dark and conflicted and all that. But you know, through it all, you can sense that somebody's there that's warm and giving and kind of loves human beings and wants to help them, you know. So even if he's going through all this, you know, bad stuff. So, and that's just Billy, you know, and Billy brought that really well to the role. And he's like, it's as Julia says, the guy can do in a look what many actors strive to do in a lot of speeches, you know, but Billy could just give a look and there's worlds there.
Mm-hmm. You know, for years, Daniel, there was this sense, or maybe more of this sort of thought of, when it comes to television production, Canada is second class to the United States, or second class to England, or second class. Frankly, I thought it was a rep that really wasn't deserved, that when push comes to shove, Canadian producers, Canadian talent could be as good as anybody. But it looks like in this era of scripted television, because of forerunner shows like Flashpoint and Due South, and more lately shows like Orphan Black and shows like Cardinal, it looks like anyone who thinks that, at least to me, that there's still this second-class citizenry thing really has another thing coming. I mean, the quality is as good as anything you'll find in any country.
Yeah, I firmly believe that. Yeah, you know, there's talent everywhere, and you just need to find it, and you just need to nurture it. And I never thought of Canada as a second-class anything, really. No, I mean, there's a lot of good shows, a lot of good talent, a lot of good actors, a lot of good writers coming out and directors coming out of Canada. So, and I think this is this show, our show is kind of like riding that wave.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk about your production company? How long have you been in business for? Is Cardinal your first major series, or if not, what has happened with your company before?
We have been producing film and TV for quite a number of years. We did a series several years ago that ran also on ABC. It was called Combat Hospital, and it was set at a military hospital in Afghanistan. I don't know if you're familiar. We also did a mini-series, a limited series called Diamonds with Judy Davis, and that also ran on ABC. We've made some films that have had quite wide releases in the U.S., Touch of Pink, an urban dance drama called How She Moves. So these are all over, I guess, over the course of the past 10 years.
Julia, I mentioned this with Jane and Tom in the half hour before with their new company, Toy Rocket. I'm wondering how Netflix and Hulu and Amazon have changed the marketplace for Canadian shows. It seems that particularly the last couple of years, we are seeing more Canadian-produced shows that are getting the shot on CBC, CTV, other Canadian networks that are able to translate and really find an audience through Netflix, through Amazon, in this case with Cardinal through Hulu. For example, Anne, the new adaptation of Anne of Green Gables that Netflix is running that is being put together by Mariah Lowry Beckett, the Emmy-winning writer of taking that altered flesh and bone ballet drama 2 years ago, The Stars, that's working well. There's a show called Indian Detective that I understand is going to be coming pretty soon that has gotten up pretty good. There's also Between, the Jennifer McCurdy drama that was on Netflix for 2 years, and also a show that was on Discovery Canada Week highlight called Frontier, which is, I think, also coming back for a second season.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a this has been like the boon years for television, both in quality and in quantity. And I think the whole digital universe opening up has been really, really helpful. And people have been trying to figure it out over the last few years and how to really best make it work. And I think at the in the early days, people they were buying a lot of shows that had been already produced. But I think now we're, in the last couple of years, we're into a time where we can actually go and partner with the likes of Hulu and Netflix and Amazon and so on, because they're looking for, they're now commissioning original content, which is fantastic. It really is a new era, and I think it's good for everybody.
Hulu's new series is Cardinal. I'm sorry, go ahead. I just interrupted you for a second, Julie. Go ahead.
No, I was laughing because I thought, I think that it is certainly good for Canadian producers and content makers.
Mm-hmm. And it's really great to see, and I have to say, the quality of Canadian shows this last decade and a half really is outstanding. And again, some of the forerunner shows like Flashpoint, which got the start on CBS and went to Ion Television, New South on CBS, Saving Hope, which had a run on ABC and now is also on Ion, and other shows produced in Canada have really found themselves, and that has also brought on this incredible Canadian side of this scripted TV movement. And, of course, shows that Orphan Black's going into its final season on BBC America, et cetera, but originated in Canada. The production community in Canada, it's as good as anybody, and in some cases even better than other places, too. Not afraid to say that. Anyway, we're speaking with Julia Sereni and Daniel Grau, executive producer director of Cardinal, the new Hulu series that started this morning, available on smart TV sets and smart devices. And they join us live from Toronto and North Bay, Canada, respectively, this hour on Tamavi Tele. We've got a few more minutes with them. If you want to give us a ring, 646-652-2906, or use our chat room, Simon Apple 04 Fernandez 462 in Ripley, our friends from Philadelphia. Still in the room. Julia, what's next for your production company? What TV projects are coming out, aside from the second and third season of Cardinal?
Well, we have the second and third season of Cardinal, which we finished shooting towards the end of November. And the next project that we have up is a theatrical film that we're going to be shooting in Ireland and Ethiopia in very early in the new year. And it's based on a book called Sweetness in the Belly by Camilla Gibb.
And Daniel, because you have two seasons now to play with, how does that alter or figure into your approach as a director, where you can, you know, not just look episode after episode, but you can really plot out a season because of your involvement. You can plot out a season's worth of episode and even start working on the next season as soon as you want.
The season two is being shot by another Canadian director called Jeff Renfro, and I'm doing season three. It is true that we get, you know, we talked, you know, me and Jeff and with Julia and the writers, we kind of, it allows us to have an overview of everything that's coming up, of course. Yeah, but, you know, there were two writing teams, one writing team doing season two and one writing team doing season three. And, you know, I think there's a lot of talking, you know, everybody's kind of involved from afar, involved in everything. But the base, you know, our base is still the six novels by Giles Blunt.
Yeah. So you have enough for six seasons, Julie. What will the second and third seasons deal with? What kind of case?
It's always kind of these. The interesting thing about Cardinal is that you get to meet the killer early on, and it, you know, and that gives a lot of suspense because there's always somebody to save. You know, somebody's in peril, and Cardinal has to figure out before that person kind of gets it. You know, there's either someone who's sequestered or somebody who's influenced. And that's the cool thing about Cardinal. It's not like it's a whodunit in that sense. It's more of a double story where you have the killer side and you have the cop side in the same show. So that's the main thing. So it's always kind of, you know, and the second one deals with the more ritualized guy, serial killer guy. And the third one is more of a kind of crime family thing. So, you know, it's always interesting to meet the killers.
Hulu now has the first season of Cardinal available to you. If you have a smart television set or a smart TV device, whether it is Roku, Apple TV, Amazon Fire, Google Chromecast, NVIDIA Shield, et cetera, chances are Hulu is available for you. So check out the first season of Cardinal, 6 episodes, produced in Canada, originally for CTV, and now available on Hulu. For more details about the series and the service online, here's where you go, www.hulu.com, HULU.com, seasons 2 and 3, also coming on Hulu soon. Julia Sereni, Daniel Brown, Executive Director of Cardinal, thank you both for joining us. Congratulations on the first season, both the success on CTV, and hopefully a lot more success coming your way through Hulu and other parts of the world, too. It's been a pleasure to both have you on. And, of course, very best for a great Father's Day weekend and a great one with your series.
Thank you so much.
All right. Thanks a lot. Yeah, thanks a lot.
You're welcome, Julie, Daniel. Take care.
Okay,
all the
bye.
Julie Sereni and Daniel Brown are joining us live from Toronto and North Bay, Canada, respectively. Thank you to all of our guests for a wonderful 90 minutes and all of you for tuning in. Remember, coming Monday on Survivor Televised, perhaps the most controversial person right now in television, and that is Neil Harmon, the head of VidAngel. Plus, from the new Discovery Family Channel series, Reno Set Go, co-hosts and designers Cheryl Canueva and Roger Morin. And another inter-radio exclusive, the new executive producer of Clean Sugar, kicking in his second season Tuesday night on the Open Free Network, Monica Mazur. It's all coming up Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, 90-minute edition right here on Tomorrow We Televise. If you came in on today's episode late, want to catch up on episodes you missed during the weekend, why not check us out online, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. That's our homepage, www.blogtalkradio.com/televise. Or check out the podcast version anytime you like. Download to your smartphone or tablet. Take us on the go if you're traveling this Father's Day weekend to your favorite father or favorite parent. Just go to iTunes or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. That's iTunes.com or Apple TV's iTunes podcast app. We're there in both places along with other Blog Talk Radio shows. And remember, if you don't have Apple TV, go to an Apple store near you or order it online. Love to hear from you. What do you think about where TV is at and where it's going, about these shows we highlight today and production companies like Toy Rocket? And what do you think about the big news of this day involving Apple and Amazon? Love to hear. Email me, simonapple04@yahoo.com. Follow me on Facebook. Follow me on Twitter at UDCSimonCWBT. And remember, we love hearing from you because what you say matters. The views expressed in this program are those of the participants, not affiliated with Blog Talk Radio. Our production associate is Candace Williams, Andy Toad's Blog Talk Radio's general manager, with Jay Sonberg, executive content producer. The co-founders, Alan Levy and Bob Cherish. Tomorrow's Televised was brought to you today by Audible.com, an Amazon company. Remember, Audible transformed the way you hear the world. But Tomorrow's Televised, I'm Simon Applebaum in New York. Thank you for listening to a fantastic Father's Day weekend, wherever you're going. Please be safe and make it a great one. We're back here for another 90-day edition, Monday, 3 p.m. Eastern, New Pacific, you know where, Blog Talk Radio. Happy Father's Day again. Until next time, stay well and stay tuned.